Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The hope of salvation is not just that God has forgiven us of our shortcomings and wants to take us to heaven, but the full salvation that He promises is that our life would be filled with His life, so that His love and His righteousness and all His attributes could fill us and be expressed through us. Bob Danker has joined us for this program today. Bob, what a marvelous summary program we get into here in the life study of Luke. It's really been a tremendous journey, and I think what's in store for our listeners in these coming days is really the cream, don't you?
I agree, Chris. This is really the cream of this life study. And as you were speaking there, you were mentioning this marvelous salvation that God has promised us, which is much more wonderful than we could ever imagine, and we're going to see something concerning that in this broadcast.
We saw in our last program, Bob, that we have a review really going on of the 4 great topics as Witness Lee saw them at the conclusion of his first passage through Luke. And then he came back to give some development on these 4 great points. And we're on the first one still, which is the matter of incarnation. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 says, "And the angel answered and said to her," speaking about Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore also the holy thing which is born will be called the Son of God." One of the great verses, Bob, touching the matter of incarnation. It's a marvelous thing and a mysterious thing, and I think it's not properly appreciated or understood by most of us, is it?
That's right. I think most Christians have a very inadequate understanding of this matter of incarnation. And this verse that you read really does unveil this matter of incarnation to us. Actually, Jesus Christ was born of a human virgin. So he was a man with human life, a human nature, and, as we've seen, human virtues. But he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So he also had the divine life and the divine nature with the divine attributes. So he was a God-man. He was something that had never come into existence before this time. Through the incarnation, God entered into man for the first time, and God and man were mingled together to be one, and man's human virtues were filled with God's attributes. This was a marvelous accomplishment in the carrying out of God's economy.
Bob, a illustration that was a favorite of Witness Lee's, it's come up, oh, I don't know how many times during the course of this last 4 years since we began doing these programs, but today it really becomes a very important focal point, I think, for this message. And understanding this terminology we've already introduced, the human virtues and the divine attributes, and what's the relationship? And the illustration that I'm talking of course, is the hand filling the glove. And the analogy, I think, will become more clear to our listeners as we join our brothers sharing. Why don't we get to Witness Lee?
The man Savior was conceived of God with God's divine attributes. For what? For the contents and reality of the human virtues. The divine attributes are for the human virtues. I, in the past, did use the illustration of a glove. If you don't have the hand filling into the glove was just empty. Actually, the hand is the content of the glove, and it is also the reality of the glove. When the hand moves, the glove moves. The glove is just an organ. It doesn't have the life. We are just a piece of glove to contain God as our content and reality. Human love is an empty shell to contain the divine love. Without the divine love, human love is just empty shell. The man Savior's incarnation fills the empty human virtues, and it strengthens and enriches the human virtues. Not only so, it sanctifies the human virtues. We all have to realize even incarnation is a mystery. We cannot explain what is incarnation. It's too mysterious. God was born into man, mysterious. The entire human living of the Lord Jesus on this earth for that many years, 33 and a half years, is also a mystery. Who lived there? Not only a man lived there, but a man with God lived there. Too mysterious. And now, this man-savior's incarnation to bring God's attributes into human virtues is just to fill these virtues up, to strengthen them, to enrich them, and to sanctify them for the purpose to express God in the human virtue.
Bob, there's a lot of different illustrations that we could use to help illustrate, but I think none are more graphic than this hand and glove picture that we keep coming back to. Even the way a hand is structured, or the glove is structured as a vessel, it's not just general, it's very specific with all of the fingers, and this really helps us to understand this matter of the virtues, doesn't it?
Yes, Chris. When God created man, he created him in his own image. And this image is mainly in the human virtues that God created for man. God is love, God is light, God is holiness, God is righteousness, and so many attributes of what God is. So in order to create something that could express him, God created man with human virtues which match God's attributes. So you can see the picture here of the glove and the hand. The glove has five fingers. The hand has five fingers. They match. One is the container. The other is the content and the reality. So you can see this picture of the glove is really marvelous. Man has a number of virtues which could be illustrated by the fingers of the glove. And God has many divine attributes. And these could be illustrated by the fingers on the hand. So when God's attributes fill man's virtues, then the hand enters into the glove. And that is exactly what happened in the incarnation, as Witness Lee pointed out here. Before in the incarnation, man had human virtues, but they were empty. They were not filled with God's attributes. But through the incarnation, man's virtues were filled with God's attributes. And in the God-man, Jesus Christ, these human virtues were strengthened, enriched, sanctified, and uplifted by being filled with God's attributes. This is why the Lord could live such a marvelous human life on this earth. He lived a human life, but in his human life, he expressed God.
So at the fall of man, Bob, it wasn't just man sinned in a general way. Even all of man's virtues were impacted by the fall, weren't they? They were damaged, spoiled. I think he used that term in one program.
That's right, Chris. Man's virtues, which were created by God, became damaged in the fall. And I believe we all can recognize this. Man does have virtues today as a fallen being, but these virtues have been somewhat distorted or deformed. When did this happen? It happened when man fell.
So throughout the course of human history, we've seen many noble acts by even non-believers, non-Christians, and that is due to man's creation with these human virtues that have a certain capacity, but they're never as perfect, as excellent as what we see displayed again and again in the Gospels as we look at the life of this one unique God-man.
Absolutely right, Chris. The human virtues of the God-man Jesus were enriched by God's attributes. They were uplifted to the highest standard. And the human life which the Lord lived to express God's attributes in his virtues was a life of the highest standard of morality. No man ever lived such a life of such a high standard.
In this coming portion, Bob, we want to pick up a question that is often asked, and that is, what is the difference between man and the animals? And one answer, a correct answer, of course, is that man uniquely was created with the spirit, an inclination to worship God. But we're going to see that these human virtues also fit into the answer of this question, the real distinction between man and the animals. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Look at the Jesus. According to four Gospels, while he was working, living on this earth, I tell you, whatever he did was a kind expression of God in human virtues. He was born of a human essence, that means born of a man, with the human virtues. In God creating man, the main thing he created was man's virtues. I tell you, without man's virtues, what is the difference between man and animals? A horse, my goodness, in some aspects, the horse is much better than you and me. Don't you think so? What is the difference between man and animals? Well, you may say the difference between man and animals is that man has a spirit. That's right. But tonight, I'd like to tell you, you do not only have a particular spirit, you have to realize you have some particular virtues. God never created any virtues for the dog, regardless how lovely that dog is. It has no virtue. It is a dog. The difference between man and animals is not only in the human spirit, but it is also in human virtues. When Christ became incarnated, I tell you, the main thing was that he put on the human virtues, which were created by God in Genesis 1 for man. God created man in his image and after his likeness. What are the human virtues? The human virtues are just the image of God, just the expression of God, the image within and the expression, the likeness without. These are the human virtues God created for us to express him. And Christ, in his incarnation, was born this way. To have the divine attributes is to feel the human virtues. And to have the human virtues is to contain all the divine attributes. In him, these two categories have been put together. That's what.
Well, Bob, here's something for the biologists to chew on. The difference between man and the animals is really seen most, I think, specifically in these virtues, isn't it?
It is, Chris. The difference between man and animals is not just something physical in man's body, but it's something inward in man's inner being. As you pointed out, only man has a spirit. Only man can receive God, who is spirit. But in addition to having a spirit, man was created by God with human virtues. If you look at the animals, they may be very lovable and very nice, and we may love them very much, but in their animal life, they don't express virtues of love, of righteousness, being right, being holy, being bright and full of light, and other kinds of virtues. We don't see this in animal life, but when we look at man, man has virtues. Man can love. Man can be righteous instead of unrighteous. Man can be bright instead of dark. All kinds of human virtues we can see in man that we don't see in the animals. Well, these human virtues were created by God for a purpose. That is, so that man can express God. God wants to be expressed in man and through man. That means God wants to enter into man and fill man's human virtues with his divine attributes, so that when man lives his human life, when he loves, for example, it's not just a human love. It is a human love, but not only a human love. God's divine love is expressed in this human love of man. And this is what we see in the life of Jesus. In the life of Jesus, we see a genuine human love, but this human love has been filled, strengthened, enriched, and uplifted with God's divine attribute of love, so that it expresses this divine love. So the love with which Jesus loved us and that caused him to die for us was the love of a man, but it was the love of God expressed in the love of a man. So God loved us in this man, Jesus, so that he gave his life for us.
You mentioned righteousness is one of the attributes of God that would fill the human virtue of righteousness. We see that in Philippians 3:9, which we'll look at in this coming segment. It says, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith." And that righteousness needs to be our experience. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
The man Savior's incarnation is to not only rescue, but restore and recover. To rescue, maybe not to restore. And even to restore, maybe not to recover. You see? But the man Savior's incarnation is to rescue the human virtues and to restore and even to recover the human virtues. Then to uplift them to the highest standard that matches God's attributes. Our deformed human virtues can never match God's attributes, but the uplifted human virtues can. I tell you, this produces the highest standard of morality. Paul says in Philippians 3:9, he was pursuing to be found in Christ, not with his human righteousness, but in the righteousness of God. How can you have the righteousness of God? To live the righteousness of God, you must have God living in you. And this kind of righteousness is the surpassing righteousness. And this is the righteousness on the highest standard. Let me say this. We Christians today are very poor due to the tradition. We think we are fallen, going to hell. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, came to save us. And one day, he just brings us into heaven. It's too low. It's too low. The way he saves us is that, firstly, he brought God's attributes into man's virtues. And he lived on this earth filled with divine attributes. Could you follow me? In this, you have the saving power. When he saves us, he comes into us as such a man. And this kind of life is saving us from within to uplift our human virtues, to transform us, to refine us, and to sanctify us. Such a kind of person will never go to hell. And such a kind of person surely will go to the place where God is.
Boy, Bob, I don't know how our listeners are, but you and I are here just delighting in what we're hearing. These are precious words, and it's a whole new understanding of the Bible, isn't it?
It really is, especially it's a new understanding of God's salvation. According to traditional understanding, we see God's salvation as a kind of a rescue from hell to heaven. But according to this view, which Witness Lee presented, which is actually the view of the Bible, God's salvation is much richer than this. Actually, God's salvation rescues our fallen, deformed human virtues, recovers them, restores them, strengthens them, enriches them, sanctifies them, and uplifts them to the standard of God's attributes so that we can live a life that expresses God's divine attributes in our human virtues. This kind of living is the highest standard of morality, the highest standard of love, the highest standard of righteousness. Human righteousness is on one level, but this is not the righteousness that the New Testament speaks about, that the Christians should express. The Christians should express the divine righteousness in their human righteousness and the divine love in their human love. This is salvation. Salvation is to cause us, the fallen human beings with damaged and deformed virtues, to be uplifted, sanctified, transformed, even glorified, so that we can express God's attributes in our virtues.
Yes, when we were in Matthew, seeing the gospel of the kingdom, and even in Luke, when that same passage that parallels the chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew was presented, the matter of righteousness is touched, unless your righteousness exceed that of the Pharisees. And
right.
At that time, the Pharisees were the most humanly righteous ones on the earth. And as human righteousness goes, they would get high marks. Human righteousness just does not qualify for the kingdom of God. But there is another possibility. Another option that's opened up here. And so a verse like Philippians 3:9 that we read, where our living would express God's righteousness, takes on a whole new realm of possibility, because it's all in this divine life that Christ presents us as part of his full salvation.
That's right, Chris. I just feel that we need to open to the Lord in a new way and say, Lord, save me by filling my human virtues with your divine attributes. Fill me with all the riches of what you are.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for your help, and as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob. Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.